Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 7th of September. This is Giles Brown, live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. You're with Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day with you for the next give or take 2 hours. If you want to get involved with the show today, going to be talking with Anne Hernandez, going to be joined by her today, and going to be talking about the issue of what is known in Spain as ocupas, squatters, people who get into your property, and what you can do to get them out. If you have an experience of this, a view on this, if your own property has been squatted in, you can get in touch with me on the following numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And first of all, let's look at what's making the front pages in the UK and further afield. Starting off, the Telegraph leads with a look ahead to Boris Johnson's announcement on social care reform later, saying he will reveal a raise to national insurance to pay for the effect of lockdown on the NHS. That's also on the front of The Guardian, which says Boris Johnson will warn his backbenchers the healthcare system is in crisis as he tries to head off a rebellion over his plans. The Mail goes with a tax rise too, reporting employees who earn £30,000 a year, which will pay roughly £5 extra a week to bail out the NHS. Also, and fix social care. Boris sticks to his guns is the Express's take on the story. While the Star focuses on the Prime Minister's promise not to increase national insurance, which he seems set to break. Proposals are being drawn up for an October firebreak lockdown in case COVID cases threaten to overwhelm hospitals. That's according to the Eye. And also the Times leads with a record number of migrants crossing the English Channel yesterday, with Priti Patel telling MPs she's ready to withhold millions of pounds promised to France to stop them. The Mirror reports the Education Secretary is to look at making defibrillators mandatory in schools after one father's campaign following his son's death from a cardiac arrest. The front of the Metro reports a female estate agent has been awarded a £180,000 payout after her boss refused to let her leave work early to collect her child from nursery. The FT reports that the Financial Conduct Authority wants action taken to stop fraudulent or risky crypto investments being promoted online, and Cheryl's tributes to bandmate Sarah Harding is on the front of the Sun. Looking at the front page of El País, now we'll go, in fact, we will break with protocol today, and we will go straight to our guests, because I know that they are waiting online, and time waits for no man, as the saying goes. We're going to be talking about the subject ocupas. If you want to get involved with the show, then here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Now, normally I would have my guests in the studio, but due to the wonders of modern technology, and because also they're very, very busy people indeed, I'm delighted to welcome onto the show via the wonders of Zoom, etc., etc., Anne Hernandez, Victoria Westhead, and Jorge Postigo. Good morning to you all. Are you receiving me loud and clear?
Good morning, loud and clear. Yeah.
Right then. Good morning to you, and good to have you with us. Quick question: have you got your gong yet? Have you picked up your MBE yet?
No, not yet. But thank you. No, not yet. No, I think there's a bit of a backlog. What with COVID, etc., they still haven't given those from last year. So well, I'm waiting.
Well, we'll keep you on this one. So today's subject, and I want to hear from you out there if you have experience in this, have seen it in your urbanisation. I was stopping in for a coffee down at a little seafront bar in San Pedro area the other day, and it was on. They were having a frenzied debate on one of the Prensa Rosa, one of the channels, the Spanish chat shows you get in the middle of the day, about ocupas, squatters, people who move into your apartment, what you can do. Due to the situation that we have been in over the past couple of years, this has spiked. We have seen an increase in this because people, for example, in the UK haven't been able to get back to Spain. Tell us a little bit about what you've been experiencing, Anne.
Yeah, well, obviously, COVID restrictions for travel, etc. There's a lot of people are very worried about their properties. We have had some spotters in my urbanisation. Fortunately, we've now removed them. But, I mean, honestly, Charles, I can think of nothing worse than finding out that you've got people occupying, illegally occupying your property, and you can do absolutely nothing about it. The law in Spain, and obviously that's why I've invited Vicky and Jorge, because I'm not legally qualified, they can explain to you. But to be truthful, I think it stinks, and it basically seems to favour the ocupa, the squatter, which is what it's called in Spanish. You can't disconnect any of the utilities, your gas, electricity and water. You cannot enter the property. You cannot review any damage that they might be causing. It's awful. You just have to wait for the courts to take their course, I'm afraid, and it can take quite a while, as I'm sure Jorge and Vicky can confirm.
Right, I'm getting a game live to the lines though. 952-784-4000. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, my name's Christine. I'm calling from Alveria.
Good morning.
Yeah. Okay. I can hear it. They're still talking on the radio. Okay. Experience with squatters. I have a lot. Last 2 weeks ago, one of the security companies in Alveria came past our office in Alveria and said that they had to evict 9 families out of Carib Playa 2 weeks ago. Somehow or other, they managed to get them out. We had a property in White Pearl Beach. The Russian that owned it let it to a friend who was a bit of an alky. He put in a black man and a Spanish woman who proceeded to destroy the apartment. We had to spend €15,000 fixing it. It's still not fixed. They set a fire on the marble floor. There's no fireplace. They just set a fire because it was cold. I heard about Riviera. There's a lot of problems over there. In Riviera, one lady was telling me in her urbanization they had squatters. They kicked them out. They put up bolts on the door. They came back with angle grinding saws and went back in. The Guardia came and they cannot throw them out. Then we have the prize one. My friends at the top of La Macarena have a €1.5 million villa, and there's a man living in there. His name is, shall we just say, Howard. He's been there for 2 years. He hasn't paid rent. He went in and he's now set up an illegal drug rehabilitation centre in this villa. And he hasn't paid rent. He hasn't paid water. He hasn't paid electricity. They had to go to the UK. They are impoverished and they can't get the money. We have a court case in Malaga on the 5th of October to try and get him out. We've been in court. I've been in court. It's tied into Landbanki, and he's playing the system. It is absolutely disgraceful. And I'm quite convinced that I have a Zoom meeting tonight with the family to try and move it forward. The husband is not going to last another year. It is shocking. And he owes them €35,000. It is absolutely abominable. And the law isn't helping, because the law provides for squatters to move into bank repossessed properties. This isn't a bank repossession. And then they leave them. And the police came round our office and they said, tell us all about your squatters. And I said, but can you evict them? No, but we need the information. This was Marbella Town Hall trying to look as though they're doing something. But the law does not allow for you to throw them out. Now, I listened to Antonio Flores on the radio. Excellent. He said, as a lawyer, you should go through the court. And he said it on the radio. He said, but quite frankly, go to the heavies and get them to throw them out. The first hit is the best. Lose your first month, throw them out, rather than wait for 2 years or 3 years for a non-functioning court and you lose $35,000.
Thank you.
I can go on for hours, but that's a kickoff, okay?
Thank you very much for your call in there, 952-784-1000. I just want to bring in, obviously, Victoria and Jorge. Good morning to you both. Hello, Jorge. Hello, Victoria. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? I'm just trying to find it. Let's just see if we can get Jorge in. Just 1 second there. Are you with us now, Jorge and Victoria? Can you hear us?
We can now. Apologies. We just had to come out and come back in again.
No problem at all. Did you catch that last caller then that called in about the fact that she basically this is an endemic, perhaps an endemic problem with occupiers. There's somebody owing 35,000 euros for a property they've been in for 2 years. And basically, it seems to be moving at glacial pace through the Spanish law courts. What is this a problem throughout Spain? Is this a problem on the costas, on the islands? What's your take on this, please?
Yeah, I think it's a problem, especially where British expats live and other expats, especially the Costa del Sol and probably around the Alicante area as well, is that, these are second properties in the main and they get left empty for long periods of time and squatters see the opportunities and they enter the property and the law is really weighted against the owners of the property in Spain,
yep.
And the justice and judicial system is so slow to deal with them. So it is an issue. It's an issue for many Spanish people as well, of course.
Yeah, I was just saying, because I caught a program on Spanish TV last week about they were speaking to one gentleman, I think his name was Daniel, and he had a luxury property in Marbella that had been taken over by Ocupas. Correct me if I am wrong on this one, and get involved with this as well, but presumably if you have an alarm and the alarm goes off and they occupy, then they are breaking the law. But if you don't have an alarm and they come in, or the alarm is disabled, then they're not breaking the law. Is that correct?
You know, well, basically, you can't show that there's forced entry into the property. Then it's if they've entered the property or peacefully, and we can't show that it's been forced entry. They've changed the locks, for example. Then it's very difficult in those circumstances to show breaking an entry into a property.
But
so much time has gone by then, you see.
The caller who just came in on that said that she had seen them come back. Somebody came back, I think it was in Riviera, and came in with an axle grinder, I think she said it was. Now, that presumably is absolutely breaking the law.
The Spanish law protects both situations. So that means in case you allow someone to live in your property and you stop and you say you want this person to go away, the law protects you. So it doesn't matter really if you're forced to go into the door, into the property, or you are allowed to. The problem we have in Spain is the time. Tomorrow. Everything, as Victoria said, is very slowly. So we have a proper system. We have two options, criminal law and civil law, to get the person that is occupying without permission. We have several possibilities legally to get him or her away from the property.
So, I mean, also there's been a lot of talk recently about these gangs, or not these gangs, these companies that will come and remove squatters from you, from your properties. I mean, they can't break in and throw them out, but it's correct, they wait outside, don't they, and remove them that way.
Yeah, sometimes they work properly, sometimes they don't work properly, because they are really next to legal or illegal situation, because you cannot threaten the person that is inside the property. And really, if they can go against the owner of the property, because that means the law says that if you want to get your rights protected, you need to go to court or police. You cannot use your own strong energy, so you cannot get them out of. So sometimes it's worked properly, but sometimes if the person that is inside the property knows their right, you may have problems.
We got a caller on the line, 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, good morning. It's Marlene Cowpey.
Morning, Marlene.
Look, I'm a little confused about this, because about a fortnight ago, I think it was, on TRE, there was a programme and it said, it was about Spain, and somebody said, this law about that you can't get rid of people, the law has changed in Spain, and now you can. So I'm rather confused, and also I am to tell somebody who was talking about it, a friend of mine, and I said, oh, don't worry, I said, the law has changed in Spain, and now you can get rid of the squatters. So I'm very, very confused, because I heard it.
Right then, very confused. Has there been...
So I'd like to know, it was TRE.
Yeah,
somebody on a TRE, and I was, you know, was quite alerted about that, because often my husband talks about it, was it's a bad law and all that sort of thing. So, and I told him as well. So, I mean, they literally said the law has changed in Spain. Now you can get rid of them. I'm rather confused.
Thank you, Bernie, for coming in on that one. Anybody want to come back on the law having changed at all? And have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, the law did change, and it has made it quicker. Instead of years, it can now be sort of 6 months. But you still have to go through the legal channels. You can't just suddenly open the door and walk in and tell them to leave. Of course, you have to remember there's two different types of squatters. I mean, we generally think of those that have illegally occupied, so they've broken in to enter. But there's also tenants that might have had a rental contract quite legally, but then, for whatever reason, refuse to leave the property. They are also considered squatters because they are remaining in the property without paying. So that's quite a different issue.
Going back to the lines again, 952-78-4000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
My name is Sandra, and I'm calling about the squatters.
Good morning to you, Sandra.
San Pedro.
If you want to turn your radio down in the background, because I can hear myself, which is never a great thing, I can assure you, especially at this time in the day.
I'm calling. I live in Guadalmina, and we have squatter problems here. One thing that we found that helps is we have formed a neighbourhood watch group, because there are lots of people who haven't been able to be here and can't be here, so we all watch one another's houses, because we have been told that if you can get them out within 48 hours, if you can prove that they haven't been in the house for more than 48 hours, and especially if they've broken in, you can get them out. So we have encouraged all of our owners to make sure that they put in alarm systems with cameras, and we are all watching, as I say, watching everyone's houses. The minute we see anything the least bit suspicious, we call the police. They come, and they have managed to save at least 6 or 7 houses here from getting squatters in them.
Right, and I mean, in Guadalmina, we're talking quite large properties. I mean, I'm not casting aspersions or whatever, but you know, there are considerably big properties.
Oh,
there.
Oh yeah, we do have. I mean, we have, unfortunately, and it was really because it didn't have an owner. We have a house because the owner died, and there was a big inheritance problem, and in the end, it was just sort of handed back to the Junta de Andalucía for taxes, so it sat empty, and squatters got in there, and they've been in there for 4 years now, and we've never been able to get them out. But they use that as a base for trying to find other houses for squatters. And as I say, they've nearly got into several, but we've always managed to get them out because we have managed to prove that they've been in there. I mean, normally we get them in the first 24 hours, that they've been in there less than 24 hours, or there's maybe photos of them having broken in and so on, and we call the police, and the police do remove them. But once they've been in there over 48 hours, you have to go to court. And as I say, with this other house, we can't get them out because there isn't an official owner, so there's nobody to take them to court until the Junta de Andalucía do something about it. And we can't...
Just a thing here. I mean, when, because obviously we think of squatters. I mean, I think of squatters, and Anne says there can be people who are tenants who are in there normally and don't want to leave, not paying their rent. But I mean, do the squatters, for example, in Guadalmina, you said they're using it as a base for finding other squatters' properties. I mean, is there disturbance? I mean, is there noise? Is there rubbish? Is I mean, what sort of effect does it have on?
They throw large noisy parties. And in fact, they were doing it in lockdown time. We did manage, we had the police in several times to stop their parties. You know, they had way more people in there than they were allowed to, and they went on until well after midnight. And when that's happened, we have been able to get the police. Police have come and, you know, they've sort of chased them and closed down the party. But the guy in there, he's been on Spanish TV. There was an Antena 3 program about him. He's a large colored gentleman, a Cuban, also driving a very smart, expensive car, which he says was given to him.
Yeah.
He is the leader of the pack. And he sort of, you know, as I say, they go round. One time was actually caught trying to get into an apartment. Well, they'd got into the apartment. But fortunately, the agent who actually had the keys for it was in the apartment upstairs at the time, saw that someone was in there that shouldn't, went down. They said, oh, no, we've just bought it. He said, well, that's impossible because I'm the person that's selling it. You haven't bought it. They tried to lock him out. He managed to stay in, and another neighbor called the police. The police came right away, and they removed them because they could prove that, you know, they literally had been in there for half an hour kind of thing. But the best thing is for neighbors, for anywhere, especially if you know you've got several villas around you that aren't occupied because people can't get here, form some sort of group and watch out on one another's villas, because you don't want them as neighbors, let alone in your own villa. You don't want these squatters as neighbors. You never know what's going to happen. You know, we think that a lot of the burglaries we've been having are probably because of the people in this squatter's villa as well. Mm. They're not good neighbors. There is another house which has been occupied, but they say they're trying to negotiate buying the house from the bank. It was a bank repossession, and they don't cause any trouble, and they're quiet, and they're reasonable, normal neighbours. So nobody's too upset about them.
Right.
And again, their villa didn't really belong to anyone, so you know, it had been empty for 10 years, and as I say, it was a bank repossession.
Sandra, I've got some more calls coming in, but thank you so much for your call in there. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John in Meehan.
Morning, John.
It's not. I was going to talk about squatters, but what I'm going to mention is that at least two of your callers have mentioned squatters, and both of them mentioned that the colour of their skin. I would be grateful if you could actually say to people, don't be racist. They are people who broke in. The colour of their skin has nothing to do with what they're doing.
And that's, thank you very much for bringing up that point, John. 952-78-4000. Back after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. We're talking occupas, squatters, call them what you will. Excuse me, in deference to John in Meehan, please let's not make the colour of their skin an issue if you want to get involved with today's show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we'll go live back to our panel of invests on panel of guests on the wonders of Zoom. And you want to come back on some points that you've heard today on this lively viewpoint?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, it's quite rare that squatters will act independently. They're usually managed, organised by gangs, so to speak, who sniff out the properties that are ripe for occupation. And unless the owner or a power of attorney has been appointed, the only denuncia that will be accepted is by them. So it's awfully difficult to get within that time. I mean, it's very important that people who are absent here realise that they have to give a power of attorney, whether it's to a friend, to a neighbour, to a solicitor, to whoever, to represent them. They can give authorisation to access, but that has to be done within the limited time. I mean, I know some people here that a few years ago had heard that their property had been occupied. They came over, they had arranged big brother, cousin, mates, etc. They entered the property. It wasn't, the squatters weren't inside at the time. They entered the property and sat there. When the squatters came back, they denounced them to the police, and the police came and arrested the owners. I mean, it's really quite wrong, and it happens, unfortunately. So prevention is so much better than cure. And yes, Neighbourhood Watch is wonderful, and that's exactly what I've set up in my urbanisation, which we can go on to talk about after. But I mean, these squatters led by gangs, they're not silly. They know the law. They will act as best they can within the law. The police can come along, and by then they've already got a false contract, a rental contract. They've already got copies to the locks that they've changed, etc. And they will swear blind that they've been in there longer than 48 hours. And it's so difficult sometimes to actually prove.
Jorge, Victoria, any thoughts on what you've heard thus far as well in terms of this 48-hour rule? Is that a legal thing? Can you begin proceedings? Tell me what we've got there.
Well, what we recommend always is that we avoid the situation. So that means we need to work in a preventive way to avoid, because usually, as the call explained, the person that has called before, usually we have an inheritance process, a property entry for many months. So if you can get an alarm system, so we can know when someone is going to into the property, and we can call the police at once, we avoid the person get some rights. Because remember, we need to take into account that what the law protects in Spain is the right of a person that is living in a property. It doesn't matter if you have the right or not. Imagine you are living in a property for 6 months. The police cannot know if you have any right, if I allow you to stay, if you have a contract or not. So that's the reason why we need to go to court to discuss. It's clear that the legal process is really, really slowly. We are in Spain. Tomorrow is part of our culture. We are not England, where things are doing this at the same time you are asking for, usually, or at least better than in Spain. So you need to avoid the situation. In which way? An alarm, or even if you have a friend in Spain, they can go to the property, collect the letter from the post.
Yeah.
So they don't know the property is empty. You can buy a clock, so the lights turn off every day. So they don't know there is nobody in the property.
Yeah. But we find as well, we have a lot of inheritance properties, and especially if someone hasn't left the will, it takes a good 6 months at least to sort out the inheritance. And before the name is changed to the new owner, the beneficiaries, there's nothing we can do. And a squatter is then well established in a property. And normally what they will say is that the person who's passed away has given them authority to live in the property, or there is a contract in place allowing them to live in the property. So we do find when we've got an inheritance, which is a complicated inheritance, and there's no will in place, so we can't act quickly, then they usually come with a squatter to deal with at the end of the inheritance process. So that is where we find most of the time. We're dealing with squatters.
It seems, isn't it, really bizarre that the Spanish legal system that normally is I'm not going to use, not draconian, but is very severe, in this particular case seems to side with the people doing something entirely illegal. And we know how tough Spanish property law is, and it just seems to, and it's not, as I said, it's not just luxury properties. It's, we've seen it in Ocupas in Madrid, in Barcelona, in Valencia, for example.
The question is that although we know that there's something illegal, until we check the case, we cannot know. Because you never know if you have any right, any document. For example, a few months ago, I have a case of, it's supposed to be occupation, but there's a problem with some brother. They are discussing about the inheritance. So he has the right to stay there. So if we say, go away from the property and we don't check the case, we can also be unfair. The problem we have in Spain is the time, as usually. I think that Anne can, or Victoria can agree with me, that the problem is not the legal system, it's the time we need to solve any problem. Because if we can solve in 1-2 weeks, as the law say, because the law say that in 5 days the judge will decide, but that's not real. It takes about 6 months if you do things properly. Because we have tried sometimes in a criminal way, we don't success. Now we recommend the civil way, because in that way we identify the person that is inside the property and it works better, faster. So in 6 months.
When we go live to the lines, 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Brian.
Morning, Brian.
It's only a small contribution, because it's only a memory. But you had a lady ringing in earlier on. She said she was a confused lady.
Yes, Marlene from Calipay.
Yeah, well, I'm a confused man, because I remember exactly what she said. I lived here 21 years, Giles, and there was a huge article about it in the papers, I think probably the Euro Weekly and the Sun in English, and it was saying a victory, and they had brought a new law, and I think it was on the change of government, maybe from PP to the other party, I don't know. But anyway, it was a big issue at the time, and they said the law had been changed, and everybody was breathing a big sigh of relief. That's all I can say, Giles.
Right.
I absolutely confirm what that lady said.
There has been we've confirmed that one. There has been a change in the law. Brian, good to hear from you. Stay safe, my friend. Good. Let's go to some of the WhatsApps today to see what's coming in. This one in from Peter, who says, not just a Spanish problem, UK also, probably the rest of Europe, but it mostly affects second properties, not people's homes. This one in, Scottish removal, I rather fancy a small incursion of anthrax. It's got missile, a worse morning tea with Piers Morgan should do it. Thank you very much for that one. Also, this one in, I'm not sure how bad squatters are in other countries, but it sounds like it's time for people who are affected to go to Court of Human Rights and get the law changed, as it's obviously not fit for purpose. And finally, this one in, good morning to you, Richard, who says the law is a something or other. What you should do is, the law is rather antiquated too. You cannot kick out tenants on low rent unless you need it as a primary premises either. It's not just a Spanish problems. If you've got tenants that haven't paid, then get landlord insurance. I'd rather have 70% of rent than no percent. So that's coming in. It's not a human right to own a property, so that will fall on the first hurdle. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the ways to get in contact with us. I'm joined by the wonders of Skype, by Zoom, Anne, Jorge and Victoria. Panel, this whole thing about neighbourhood watch schemes. Now, I remember being in the UK in the 70s and the 80s when they came out. Are those systems legal? You can set up associations of vecinos to look out for what's happening in your urbanisation, in your street?
Do you want me to come in on this?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, you can. You need to be associated to the Association of Neighbourhood Watch in Spain.
Right, so you can't just do it and say, me and a couple of mates are going to keep their eyes out. That's almost a vigilante ban.
Well, I suppose you could, but you're not vigilantes patrolling the streets. This is not what you are. You are the eyes and ears of your absent neighbours. It's just a case of caring for one another and looking out for one another. I mean, yes, it probably is a problem worldwide, but particularly here in Spain that we're aware of, because there are so many people that own second homes here. And that is the issue, because they just really do not understand the whys and wherefores of if they do get occupied.
And we're going live to lines again. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. It's Sharon. I didn't put you on speaker, but I could hardly hear Anna in the background there. It was very, very faint.
Right.
So, I just want to say, obviously, we don't have a second property here. We do have rent out, permanent for long-term residents, long-term rent out in England in two properties. And so that's probably safer than short-term lets. But the law in Britain's judicial system is also very, very behind with its cases, and the law in Britain isn't much easier on the landlords than the ones here. I do know. Can I just clarify, did somebody say that if you put your alarm on, you're in a better position legally, just in case you want to go for away for a holiday or...
Yeah, panel, can somebody come back on this whole thing about putting alarms on and that puts you in a better position legally, etc.?
Well, yeah, because okay,
I'll listen to the answer.
Sorry, hang on. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you, Sharon. And now we can listen to the answers. Okay, panel.
Go on then, Vicky.
No, well, it's basically catching them early within the 48 hours. And a lot of these alarms are connected directly to the police as well. So it informs the police as soon as it's triggered. So obviously catching them early within the 48 hours will assist in getting them out and preventing them from establishing themselves in the property.
Can I go live to the line? I've got a caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi. Is it me this time you're listening to?
I'm sorry?
No, it's all right. Three times now you've said speak and then somebody else has spoken over the top of me. Okay, you've got me now, yes?
Yeah, I've got you, John. What can we do for you this morning?
Okay, it was regarding the... I can hear something over the top.
But well, it's not. I can assure you it must be something on your end, because you're coming through loud and clear on my end.
Okay, I'll speak over it then. There was a lady spoke and said that the only person who can make a report to the police is the person who owns the property. I'll call you back.
Thank you for that one, John. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. If you want to get involved with the show, in fact, I'll give you those details again.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
We'll see if we've got a clearer line this time. John, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Right.
Sorry, I think it was my fault. Probably it was. The point I want to make was there was a lady came on, which is an important point. She said that you need to give someone power of attorney because only the owner of the property can make the report. That, I don't believe that's true, and I'll tell you why. I used to work with the police here 24 years as a volunteer. On one occasion, they had somebody come in, and they wanted to report the fact that they were with a friend. The friend was going to the airport. They stopped for a drink on the way to the airport. And the one who was leaving lost a handbag, but that obviously didn't have time to report it. When the friend tried to report it, the police in Frank Arroyo said it's not possible. Long story short, the British Embassy phoned the officer on the desk and told him that under Spanish law, anyone who knows the crime is committed can make the report. And the officer, with somewhat bad grace, took the report.
Right.
On another occasion with the Guardia Civil, I had a friend who emailed me actually from a boat going across the Atlantic, it was their own boat, saying that his father's car had been taken off the front of his house in Mijas. Could I report it? When I went to the Guardia Civil and explained the position, they said, you know about it? I said, yes, no problem at all, you can make the report. So I'm pretty sure that anybody, as long as you insist, can make the report if they know that or believe a crime has been committed.
Thank you for that one, John. So can you make a report if your neighbours have gone away and somebody else, you think somebody is squatting, living illegally in a property, say, across the road from yourself? Panel.
Okay.
I'll let Anne go in there first.
Go on then. My understanding is the only person that can make an official denuncia by the Guardia Civil is the owner or the power of attorney if it's going to go to court.
Right, then. So if it's going to go to court, but I mean, if you're a neighbour and you see people who obviously aren't supposed to be in there, and we said before, Sandra called in from Guadalmina saying that, you know, there are groups there and they have parties, then presumably you can call that one as a public nuisance, I suppose, if nothing.
Absolutely,
else.
Of course you can, but it wouldn't be taken to the state where you're going to process an eviction for them.
Yeah.
Jorge wants to come in.
Yeah, we have this experience because we have a client with a property in Torremolinos. We get the occupier out, and one day later they went back there, and the neighbor called the police directly, and also called me. They go and get the people outside because we have the document from the other day. So yeah, this is can be a criminal. If it's recently, as Victoria say, it's not a civil case; it's a criminal. Mm-hmm. So criminal is involved the state, the government, and all citizens, mm-hmm. and anyone can report. If it's a long time occupation, we need more than. It's more a civil case and it's between parties.
Yeah, so you have to prove the interest in the property and that you're the owner or you have power of attorney if you're going through the civil route.
Right, good to know that one. The other thing is the fact that, I mean, and we touched on before because somebody mentioned this Cuban celebrity, almost celebrity squatter, but there are. This isn't just a case of, you know, a couple of sort of vagrants or something moving in. There are sophisticated gangs doing this now, aren't there? There has been, because people have been stuck in their home countries, whether it be in Scandinavia, whether it be in the Low Countries, whether it be in the UK or Ireland, because they haven't been able to travel. But there are sophisticated gangs going in there and taking over these properties, especially the luxury properties.
Yeah, there are. And I mean, you will sometimes see signs that are left outside properties that is sort of their own code. It might be a chalking on the pavement outside. It might be stones left by the door. If they're there, you know, a good few days later, then it's a fair sign that the property hasn't been occupied. So, you know, it's ripe for occupation, basically.
Mm.
Like I said, it's rare that they act independently and they just break into a property.
Right. It's not.
It's usually organised. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to take care because usually they put some kind of mark when they want to occupy to check the property empty. Because the key is they are looking for a property that is not being used. That's the reason why foreigners are the more affected community of this kind of problem. Because they are living in UK, they want to come for visiting, and because of COVID, they cannot travel so easily, and that's one of the key. So the mark and also the post, the letter, they check if you have in your passport many letters, because that means you are not coming, and the property is absolutely empty. So that's one of the key you need to avoid. So I think that they put some kind of name in the passport or even in the door. They put like a hair or a mark.
Yeah.
And they know that the property, because, you know, if you are living in the property, you will get this sign back.
Yeah.
Even if you don't. Even we have some clients that they go into the terrace and they get easily inside the property. So take care with the windows, take care with the door.
Yeah, totally secured. Yeah.
Collaborate with a neighbor, that's what Anne said, and it's really, really interesting because neighbors are your best friend to avoid people going inside the property.
The neighbors are your best friends to avoid people. Going to take a short break, and then we're into the last 10 minutes of this first half of Daybreak.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And we've got a WhatsApp in. This is from Sylvia in Beneth Malaga. Thank you. The banks are to blame when they leave repossessed properties empty and unsecured for many years. A large villa near me has been vandalised and different squatters are in there with dogs stealing electric and water. How can we find out which bank has repossessed the property to report it? Thank you, Sylvia. Panel, how can she find out which bank has repossessed it?
Yeah, well, that's quite straightforward. You can make a search on the for a nota simple, a land registry certificate, effectively.
So the nota simple will do it, yeah?
Yeah, it will identify the bank who's repossessed the property.
And this is another one in saying, Buenos dias, thank you. A few months ago, I viewed a German documentary on the squatter problem with similar views of the situation. It was recommended that an order to remove any illegal occupant within the time limit, one could install an app which uses movement camera in the property that sends pictures to the owner's smartphone of any movements, enabling him or her to contact the policía local quickly if a break-in is suspected. So that's another possibility, panel.
Clearly, yeah. Yeah, you can, you know, it's like having the alarm fitted that contacts the police. You're keeping an eye on your property virtually by having cameras set up inside.
So that's another way of getting around it. But like I said, keeping an eye out is perhaps the best thing. Anne, I know you're with us and we've got 5 minutes before we have to let you go. So I just thought, as you are the person who knows quite a few things about this, what are your latest updates that you can give us in the next 5 minutes before we go to the national and international news?
Well, let me just finish off on squatters. If anybody wants any information about the Neighbourhood Watch, please do contact me via any of our 6 Facebook groups, and I'm happy to give you the information. I've also sought out collective offers from interested companies that would sponsor, which is handy. You know, we need to help the local community and local businesses as well, and they're more than happy to help us. So, I've drawn up a list of prevention. Jorge's already mentioned, you know, the alarms and overflowing letterboxes. There's also keep your front garden clear of weeds, yeah, and dust at terraces, etc. That, you know, there's lots of things that you can be doing. But if they want to contact me, then that's more than...
And presumably, if you're listening, sorry to cook off it, but if anyone's listening over in, you know, in Scandinavia, in Ireland, in the UK, they can, and they can't get out, well, they should be able to travel now, so it should be a lot easier. So, but they could presumably get in contact with you as well to say, look, you know, I'm still stuck, you know, there may be a health issue, I can't come over at the moment. Presumably, they can get in contact with you, and you can, I'm not saying send, you know, go around and clean the table, but at least get them, put them in contact with the right people.
Absolutely. No, we can give them the information and obviously guidance and advice. Yes, absolutely. With regards to Brexit, if you want me to update you on that.
We've got 4 minutes, Anne, so do your worst.
Okay, well, first of all, the thing is with regards to the exchange of driving licences, the UK driving licence, you have until the 31st of October to drive on it here in Spain as a resident. They didn't tell us before the 30th of December when we had to register our intention to exchange if you didn't already have a residency, that if your driving license expired during that time, from then 1st of January until the 31st of October, you should not renew it because that invalidates your registration, because it suddenly becomes a non-EU driving license. You will see it doesn't have the EU logo, and Trafico here will not exchange the driving license. So even if it's expired, please do not exchange it before you have actually... please do not exchange it for a new one before you've actually exchanged it for a Spanish one.
Quick question, the UK blue badge, somebody's coming in on the UK blue badge. Is that, what's that happening in Spain?
Yeah, that's difficult to acquire. Perhaps Vicky could come in on that.
Yeah, I did have a look at that, and there's no exchange programme... When I did check, there was no exchange program for right. The blue badge. Even Spanish people, even, you know, people who've been living here many years, Spanish people, it takes 2 years to get one.
It can take a long time. Yeah.
My
other update... Again, the problem in Spain is the time. So you can get whatever you want in Spain. Yeah. We are wonderful. But you need 2 years to get a disability certificate. 2 years or even more. Because you need to be checked by the doctor, you need to give the doctor all your medical report. It doesn't matter if they are from the UK or any other country, so it's not a problem at all, because what you have is what you have.
And we've got 2 minutes, so...
Back on spotters very quickly, Giles. If you declare that your property is occupied, I understand your insurance is not valid. They will not cover you, so that's one point. Okay, so moving on. The 90 days in any 180 days, I keep being asked, what is the visa to allow us for an extension? There isn't one, basically. People are being told to apply for a non-lucrative visa, but that's quite different. It's otherwise called sort of the pensioners or a retirement visa. It's for those who don't want to work here. And you can only apply for these visas from the UK. You cannot apply from them whilst you are already here in Spain. You can apply for a golden visa if you invest €500,000 in a property or several properties. Okay, with no mortgage, in one name. If it's in two names, then you need to invest the money.
Right.
Other than that, you need to go back to the UK, to your Spanish consulate. There's one in London, Manchester and Edinburgh. On the point of London, I'm told that they are not telling people that this stamp in your passport as a visa is not your residency. When you get here, it's valid for 3 months from the date of stamping. But when you get here, you have a month to apply for your TIE. Don't leave it any longer, because you'll find that you've got to go back to the UK to renew your visa, because it will not be, it will have expired. So that's one point.
The non-lucrative visa procedures, obviously they're quite different for different people, different cases. There's different visas. Contact us again if you need further information. There's a new visa that's just received draft approval on July the 6th, which is for digital nomads, for sort of remote teleworkers, so to speak, which is good. Spain is trying to look at encouraging entrepreneurial skills here in Spain where people can work from home, and it does have incentives for tax. So, you know, contact us and we can give you details of that. What else can I tell you? The TIE, still lots of questions regarding the TIE. There is no deadline if you are a beneficiary of the EU and can prove you were living here pre-31st of December 2020. Right. It is still optional to exchange, though it is recommended. And a lot of the public services are, in fact, insisting on seeing a TIE, and that is wrong.
I have to stop you there because the bongos have beaten us, as the saying goes. Of course, Anne Hernandez, Brexpats in Spain, of course. I just want to say thank you as well to Victoria Westhead and Jorge Postigo. Thank you so much for your time today, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Right, going to the end of the first half of the Viewpoint, and then back with more after the national and international news.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Yes, indeed. And we're back for the second half of today's Viewpoint with you for the next 54 minutes or so. Thank you to Anne, Jorge and Victoria for kicking us off on today's show, talking about all things squatters, Occupas as well. We're throwing open the mics. If there is anything on this or that subject that you want to bring up on today's show, I was going to say throw up, but that's perhaps not the right word to use, get in contact with us via the following methods.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And got a WhatsApp in here from, they actually have the name saying, can you tell me how to go TIE, please? I think the best advice for that one is to go give, and check out on Facebook, go to her Brexpats in Spain page there, and she will guide you through the process. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me, yes you can, on +34 645 99 67 95. Don't forget as well that we are on Instagram. We're on as talk_radio_Europe if you want to keep up with what's going on here today. Also, thank you, Cookie, for that comment on the Facebook page, on the WhatsApp page. Good to have you with us as well. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me +34 645 99 67 95. Let's have a look at some of the major stories, if you may want to get involved with these ones. 10 things you need to know today. Record number of migrants crossing the channel. The Home Secretary has told MPs she's ready to withhold millions of pounds promised to the French to block migrant crossings after a record number of people were estimated to have landed on Sunday. Priti Patel was said to be furious at the low numbers of migrants being intercepted by France. However, Refugee Action said the shocking images we've seen in Afghanistan has shown what forces people to leave their country. Boris Johnson will pledge to end catastrophic costs for social care users in England when he sets out long-awaited reform proposals later. The Guardian says the Prime Minister is facing a growing red wall rebellion over rumoured tax rises, with one Conservative frontbencher saying they were considering their position over a planned national insurance rise to fund an overhaul of social care and tackle the NHS backlog. Plans for post-Brexit checks on some goods entering Northern Ireland have been suspended indefinitely by London after talks with Brussels reached a stalemate. The UK's David Frost, who is leading negotiations about updating the contentious Northern Ireland protocol, revealed a fresh extension with no new deadline set for completion of talks. The grace period is designed to ease the transition into new trading arrangements. Rush hour traffic in the UK returned to pre-pandemic levels on roads in London, Birmingham, Wolverhampton, Nottingham, Leicester and Liverpool yesterday. Transport for London confirmed that yesterday morning was the busiest on the tube for 18 months since the first lockdown. Passenger numbers on buses rose by 71% in a week. The Times says the data was a sign that cities are beginning to return to normal. Police in New York say the Wire actor Michael K. Williams has died at the age of 54. Williams, famed for his role as Omar Little in the crime drama, was found by family members at his Brooklyn home yesterday afternoon. Associated Press says the death is being investigated as a possible drug overdose. Williams, who was nominated for 3 Emmy Awards, had openly discussed his struggle with drugs over the years, the BBC said. Clarence House has says the Prince of Wales has no knowledge of an alleged offer from his former aide to help a Saudi businessman secure an honour after the royal's former valet, Michael Fawcett, temporarily stepped down from his role as chief executive of the Prince's Foundation. A spokesman said the Prince of Wales has no knowledge of the alleged offer of honours on British citizenship on the basis of donation to his charities and fully supports the investigation now underway by the Prince's Foundation. Boris Johnson has told MPs he believes the Taliban has changed. The Prime Minister says, what we need to do is make sure that those elements of the Taliban who are different, and I believe different from the Taliban of 1996, are encouraged, and we put the maximum pressure on them not to allow more retrograde elements to have the upper hand. In a softening of rhetoric, Dominic Raab, the Foreign Secretary, said there was a clear difference between the Taliban and terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda. Governments gave 20% more in overseas aid funding to fossil fuel products over the past 2 years than to programs to cut air pollution they cause. That's according to analysis from the Clear Air Fund. Air pollution kills more people than HIV, AIDS, malaria and tuberculosis combined. But just 1% of global development aid is used to tackle this crisis, the researchers found. And Pele is recovering in hospital from surgery to remove a tumour from his colon. In a statement, the football legends did not say whether the tumour was malignant, but said he was feeling good. But Einstein Hospital in Sao Paulo said in a statement they are keeping the 80-year-old in for intensive care, but expected him to transfer to a room today. Pele is the only player to win 3 World Cups. And a blue plaque has been erected at the former home of Muppets creator Jim Henson. The puppeteer, who died in 1990, aged 53, from septic shock, lived on Downshire Hill in Hampstead, North London. After English Heritage unveiled the plaque ahead of what would have been the artist's 85th birthday, his son Brian said, "It is an honour to have his British home recognised with a blue plaque, knowing that he so admired and respected the talent in London." Going to the front page of El País in English, our media partners, to see what we have. Police investigate homophobic assault at knife point in the centre of Madrid. Eight hooded assailants attacked a young gay man on Sunday afternoon in the centre of Madrid. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez says when 2021 is over, consumers will have paid the same for electricity as they did in 2018. I know there's been a huge outcry about the hike in electricity prices, and finally, front page of El País in English today. Their last story. As school year begins, 75% of adolescents have at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Going to that one, it now the percentage of 12 to 19 year olds with protection now exceeds the figure for the 20 to 29 and the 30 to 39 groups. The Health Ministry is launching a campaign to encourage vaccination amongst those segments. parents under 12s are yet to be included in the campaign, given no vaccine has been approved for this age group in the European Union, as the new school year is starting in more places today. With wide vaccine coverage, which will be completed during the first weeks of class. And those are your stories and your topics today, this Tuesday, the 7th of September.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Indeed, if you want to talk about some more thoughts about the squatter situation, the Occupas, or anything else that's crossing your radar and you have a viewpoint on, please let me know. We've got 40 minutes or so to go. Good morning to Sylvia, who is liking us on the Facebook page. There's a myriad of ways you can get in contact with us here on TRE Talk Radio. And good morning to Jade as well. Good to have you with us. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at TRE.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Proficial. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95 if you have any thoughts on the situation over in the UK. Yesterday, I think it was 1,000 migrants, or perhaps Sunday, 1,000 migrants taking advantage of the clement weather, I'll say, to make the hazardous crossing across, obviously, the English Channel to get to the UK. Priti Patel, furious, apparently. I wouldn't have liked to have been in the Border Force's chief executive shoes as she stormed into his office or made the phone call or Zoomed in or Skyped in, whatever. But do you think that... I was hearing some because obviously the news has been full of Afghanistan over the past couple of weeks and the situation there, and I was listening to some of the conversations that have been going on, and there was somebody rolled out the line that we couldn't take any more Afghan refugees because the country was groaning under the weight of refugees. However, Spain has been flying Afghan refugees to a base. I know there's currently, I think, is it 2,000 over in Rota, down a little bit further down, a lot further down the coast from where this studio is. But thoughts on that? Is it too late? Should we have stepped in? The Boris Johnson saying it's not the Taliban of 96. It's not the Taliban of 96. It's a different Taliban. It's Taliban 2.0, the reboot, apparently, according to... it's not retrograde elements. That sound, makes you sound like the Prime Minister has been consulting his astrological charts, isn't it? But Dominic Raab saying that he wants to engage in constructive conversation with that. Been holding some heartbreaking reports of people, British citizens, European citizens, who are still trying to get out of Afghanistan. You wonder how on earth they're going to do that. 952 78 4000, the phone number, studio at TRE.com. Radio in the email. If you want to get in contact with Anne Hernandez, check out Brexpats in Spain. You'll find the website on the Facebook page. Exactly where in the UK can you instantly buy a rib outboard fuel and get launched into the sea? Also, someone is buying these once landed in the UK and reselling them in France. There's your traffickers. Easy. Thanks for that one. If you want to get involved with that, I'll say anything else. If it's suitable, if it's fit for purpose, love to hear from you this morning on Viewpoint. Costco, yes, thank you very much for those hints as well. Coming up later on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain, looking at what's happening later today on your favourite English language station in Spain. Following myself, Stephen Ritson will be with us with Europe Today, as always. Controversial and the candid, I think we can say. Today, Selena will be chatting to Campbell McPherson about how to navigate and thrive in the second part of our lives in a time of upheaval in our careers, and not to mention COVID-19. We are healthier and more vibrant than previous generations. You haven't met my dad. And we are living longer, much longer. We are 50 years young, not 50 years old. At 3:10, Vicky McLeod is back giving us the lowdown on what's happening over the next few weeks in Mallorca, and at 3:30, Drew Charles I've just put my teeth in, gives us tips and advice on finding the path to sobriety. Okay, looking forward to that one. That's at, that is going to be at, because as many, as they say here, many people struggle with the substance abuse in the shadows, feeling ashamed, alone and inadequate. Every time we stumble into bed drunk and out of our minds, many of us say never again. We'll be chatting, they'll be chatting to, to Drew Charles about that at that's at 3:30 today. Bob, today's Hannah is of course with us with a with TRE in the afternoon. She'll be chatting with Bob James about the latest stories making the headlines in the Spanish press. Then Hannah talks with Charlotte Rodriguez, the lovely Charlotte from Cervinco International and Wines for Fun, all about things wine. And Dominic Wilcox, he'll be telling us how children can help clean up our oceans. That's all in Hannah's. That's all in Hannah's show, and also she'll be chatting with Christine Nillerman about how to set, run a successful business, how to set up and grow a company, and how to effectively manage people, manage your people, and create a prosperous work environment. Stay tuned for that one. Bob James here. Bob James here at 6 o'clock with all you need to know with Spain today, and then you can listen to the repeat of this here. Show on at, from 7 o'clock. That's Viewpoints with me, Giles Brown. If you want to get involved with today's show,
to contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Anything that crosses your radar on this, on any of the subjects I mentioned before, if you have problems with squatters, if there's anything else in Spanish life, if you have survived the summer, if you have, what are you looking forward to over the next couple of months now that summer has gone? Occupancy, very high indeed. How was the holiday season for yourselves? If you have a business that was struggling before the holiday season, but now looking a bit more optimistically to the future. If you've got a real estate business, luxury real estate, I know we were talking about squatters, but if there have been certain signs that the market is picking up, especially at the top end, love to hear from you on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
And we go live to lines. Morning, Cooley, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm calling Kay Costanza.
Morning, Kay.
Just to change the subject a bit. A quote from the day of this from today's Spectator, a slightly right-wing paper. The quote is, after all that's happened in the last 18 months, they can't seriously be thinking about a tax raid on the supermarket workers and nurses so that the children of Surrey homeowners can receive bigger inheritances.
And that's from The Spectator.
And it said a cabinet minister, meaning current, on the proposed rise to national insurance contribution.
Yeah,
and the fast answer is, yes, they are, and it's absolutely stupid because you could get the same financial benefit by using the income tax contributions.
I mean, it does seem that this is going to be an interesting one for Johnson, isn't it? Because this is one of the major things of his election promises, that he wasn't going to do this, and now he's taking what's being described as a calculated gamble.
Well, it's not only that, but it's going to hit the lower end worse than it is the people who've got the mansions in Surrey.
I mean
it is mind-blowingly stupid.
Right. I mean, the thing, well, yes. And the other thing is, of course, this national insurance contribution, it won't have an effect on those of pensionable age. So it is going to be seen as unfair on the young as well as perhaps low income families, especially in at a time when they are also scrapping the £20 year of universal credit top up that they had.
Absolutely. Yes. Right.
Thank you very much for that, Kate. As always, good to hear you, as always. 952-78-4000. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name, Wave? Calling from what's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, just to relate to that last caller. I know it's a very personal thing, and maybe selfish, but I have a Crown pension. That means I have to pay my tax on that in the UK. I would much rather they put it on the international insurance, because I don't pay that.
Right. OK, thank you very much for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Bringing more immigrants to raise fiscal income. There are only two ways to raise enough cash. Raise employers' NIE contributions, not employees. So employers' NIE contributions, not employees. And or bringing more immigrants to raise fiscal income. Well, it just seemed to be, you know, we're seeing reports of, you know, this whole thing about delivery drivers, this whole thing about HGV drivers. Pictures, you may think they are staged, you may think they don't run true, but, you know, people are saying that stocks are running low in certain goods in the supermarkets as well. So surely we need, the hospitality industry is suffering. I know that Stephen Ritson has been going on this about this as well, but also the you see reports that one of the hotel groups said they are having trouble finding staff because of a lack of shall we say, lower paid workers or people who are willing to pay these menial jobs. And, you know, this is something that obviously there are job opportunities. And one of the I heard was a Conservative minister saying the other day, well, we now have these jobs opportunities for lower paid people because obviously delivery drivers are going back if they come from, you know, Eastern European countries. Again, a lot of, staff in the hospitality industry, a lot of the hotel industry staff as well, the people who do, you know, the lowly paid jobs are going back to Europe because they're feeling unwanted. So this government minister was saying, well, look, we're going to knock off the £20 in your top-up, because it was only during an emergency measure. The crisis is now over, and you can all go out and get these jobs that are being left by those who are feeling unwanted, surplus to requirements in this new post-Brexit Britain. However, the problem is that I think a factoid came out the other day, but something like 30% of the people who were on Universal Credit are actually working as well at the moment. So that's not going to help the situation either. If you want to get it, if they increase immigration, says WhatsApp, it will prove the whole Brexit thing was a pointless, false road, and the whole government and everyone in Parliament wants it. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Proficient. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Boris Johnson vowing to end catastrophic costs for social care users in England. He'll be setting out a long-awaited reform proposal later. Expected to breach election promises and raise national insurance by about 1.25%. And the plan has prompted a backlash from some of his own Tory MPs. It's widely accepted that these major changes are needed to the social care system. Labour says it agreed with the need to reform, but has criticised the proposed rise in national insurance, saying it's going to unfairly target young people and lower earners. BBC's political editor Laura Kusenberg understands that after late night talks, ministers agreed pensioners in work would also have to pay the new health and social care levy, despite people being exempt from NI payments after reaching state payments age. So that's that is also Rishi Sunak is apparently going to suspend the so-called triple lock on pensions, designed so rises in state pensions were not overtaken by the rising cost in living. The care sector has said it's hoping there'll be funding for short and long terms. So we're looking forward to that. I mean, this was one of the promises that Johnson made. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the Facebook page. studio@tre.radio is the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Proficient. You can WhatsApp me +34 645 99 67 95. Tomorrow, On It's GB, Not GQ, recently, I spoke with American guitarist Mark Bonilla.
Keith was the pioneer in that way. All of those things that he was able to do, and to do it with a smile and a nod, because he never took himself seriously, but he took what he did serious.
We talked about music, but also about life and the passing of time.
You know, and that's the most important thing about musicians, is they have to be servants of the music. You're never greater than the music yourself.
Join me, Giles Brown, on It's GB, Not GQ, every Friday from 4 p.m. for more wild and reckless conversations.
You're up in the rocks hiding from the posse. What do? You clean your gun, pal. You polish your bullets. You feed your horse oats. You practice your aim. So when they show up, you come out blazing better than you went in when you went into hiding.
Yes, indeed. Coming out blazing better than when you're into hiding. 952-78-4000.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the contact numbers. Just some headline, other headline stories. Police Scotland have pleaded guilty to failings which contributed to the death of a woman after a car crash in 2015. Lamara Bell lay undiscovered for 3 days in a ditch beside the M9 motorway, despite the incident being reported to police. Boris Johnson's been meeting his cabinet this morning as he prepares to set out plans to fix England's social care system. The Prime Minister's proposal is expected to include a controversial rise in national insurance, something the Conservatives promised not to do at the last election. Teachers say extremist views are flourishing in schools. In schools, thanks to dangerous online content. They've told researchers a growing number of kids are developing dangerous ideas linked to racism, homophobia, and conspiracy theories. Sales at Ted Baker have increased by half as it bounces back from the impact of the pandemic. Bosses at the high street fashion chain say trading in town centres remains subdued compared to out-of-town stores. And it's been confirmed that British F1 driver George Russell will race alongside Lewis Hamilton at Mercedes next season. Russell moves from Williams to replace Valtteri Bottas. You know that I'm an F1 fan, and that is absolutely brilliant news. George Russell racing alongside Lewis Hamilton in Mercedes next season. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Following me today,
if you've lived in Spain for 10 years, you're entitled to apply for Spanish citizenship, and you have to do a Spanish sort of cultural test.
Stephen Ritson.
And the one which amused me is Spaniards celebrate the new year with A, olives, B, grapes, C, oranges, or 4, paella.
Weekdays from midday.
The idea is to demonstrate that you've lived in Spain for a few years, and pretty much everyone would know that it's grapes.
Europe Today.
And live to the lines we go. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. It's Sharon Alicante.
Yes, Sharon.
Regarding this, we do need a national care system, absolutely, and I'm all for that. However, this increase in national insurance, they're not planning to ring fence care. It's all going to go into one pot, and I think they're going to use it to top up the 10-year deficit in healthcare funding, and very little of it will go into the care pot. And then for the next election, they'll be able to say, well, the health service is doing really well now. We've put all this money into it. Very little will go into the pot at the moment. As a pensioner, I understand that they may be doing away with the triple lock, and that we may also have to contribute to the NI contributions. Now, I don't mind doing one of those, but bear in mind, I either top up the NI contributions or forfeit the triple lock. We have one of the lowest pensions in the European Union, or in Europe. We're one of the lowest state pensions, and many people, I'm not one of them fortunately, but many people are living just on that pension. And if they're going to demean it in any way, shape or form, there's going to be an awful lot of people needing more care. So I don't think they've, yet again, they haven't thought this through. They haven't thought out the details, but then Johnson was never for detail, was he? So I don't mind, as I said, I don't mind topping up one of them, but I don't think it's fair to put on lowest paid state pensioners in Europe punish them twice over. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much for that one. This one in, the NHS has to be unwound. People that can afford it should be charged for some services, a charge to see the GP, a charge to see the dentist, while still protecting those who can't afford it. I often have to think what happened to that £350 million on the side of the bus that we were promised, because that seems to be that's another one that hasn't come through. 952 78 4000, the phone number if you want to get involved with today's show. 952 78 4000 is the phone number. In the last 19 minutes or so, would welcome your calls on this or any other subject. The £350 million never existed. Indeed. 952 78 4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Be good to hear from you this morning on this or any other subject here on Viewpoint, your voice in Spain. Don't forget, lots of things coming up today on TRE Talk Radio Europe with you until 12 o'clock today. Capitalism is dead in the water. The world is good morning to you, Jason. The world is sleepwalking into a socialist communist global superstate. Okay, good to have you with us as always. Live to the lines again, 952 78 4000. The lines have suddenly lit up, which is always good news for a beleaguered radio presenter. So let's go to I'll put my hand into the hat and go, morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, it's Johnny. And
morning, John.
Beautiful sunny Islington, 85 degrees.
And what's that? That's an old money, 85 degrees, which is what, 30 degrees or a day?
Yeah, still too hot here. The air's not as good as when you're by the beach. Just one thing, they're going on mention about the £350 million. I might be taught on the backside as usual, but I thought that's been eclipsed many times over the last, particularly with the COVID, billions have gone in. And so I think that figure of £350 million was eclipsed probably well over a year ago. Well, I might be talking nonsense.
Right, okay, thank you.
Please don't confirm it.
Okay. Thanks very much. Good to hear from you. Enjoy the sunshine in sunny Islington, in the Islington Lido, or wherever you have over there. Morning, cool, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hiya, Giles. I'm Elf.
Elf, how are you, sir?
Somebody complained earlier. It just happened to me as well, just so that you're aware. So when you said on the line, John came on, but I was online as well. So not that it matters, just technical hiccup.
Yeah, well, you know, I put 50 cents in the meter, you know, and changed the wax cylinder at the back of the machine. You know how we go around here, Alf.
Absolutely.
How you doing,
and John's quite right with you about the money going, but then you have to make this wild assumption that 350 million, whatever it was, a week, a month, a day, ever existed in the first place, which it didn't, which is what all of us were saying during the Brexit arguments. You know, you're making a promise on money that doesn't exist, and it didn't exist, and it's never existed. And the money that's been put in now is from the coffers of the UK government. Listen, big countries have huge reserves of money in case of emergencies. And they have the ability, unlike most of the smaller countries, the ability to go to the World Bank or to other banks to borrow money, which is why it's the borrowing that is the problem. It's not, oh, Britain hasn't got any money, or what happened to the 350 million. It doesn't work like that, does it? And the amount of money raised through taxes very rarely covers your debts for the year. So you're borrowing all of the time. Anyway, but this is just typical, and I forget who it was, but somebody rang in. Yeah, Johnson is not capable of convincing his own people with the benefits of the argument of what he's trying to do. So what he's resorted to now is bullying, which is what he always reverts to, bullying. He's a bully, top and bottom. And, you know, if Priti Patel, if she ain't a bully, well, nobody is. If she thinks she can bully the French, oh, we're not going to pay you any money for doing this because you keep letting these people come across. It's like the French ain't stupid, and they're not taken. They have to say where the money's going. They have to at least prove that they're trying to do something. Otherwise, they will be in trouble with the EU anyway for allowing people through their country without any checks or anything. So, you know, and I just find it all incredible how people do not understand, and you know, with all due respect, you know, never mind the mansions, the people in the mansions in Surrey. This isn't about the people in the mansions in Surrey. This is about middle-class people, lower middle-class people, aspirational people, having their aspirations kicked out of them again. And that's what the Tories are now toying with. He's taking a gamble that the people in the north, the northeast, the northwest, the North Midlands, and probably most people who are just below that, you know, we're affluent level in southern England, are all going to be saying now, and you're going to now tax us more when you promise no extra taxes based on this. So his gamble, you know, if there is a gamble, isn't going to pay off. But he's not gambling with the British population. He's gambling with the Tory backbenchers. Are the Tory backbenchers going to revolt against him? And you just go, well, I very much doubt it. And he is seen as being there. He's the flag leader of them being re-elected and re-elected and even if it's not him.
Right.
He's the flagpole back for the Tories long-term with their long-term plans to destroy the social state in Britain. That's always been their plan and always will be their plan.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to see, I mean, do you think he'll be able to, because we keep hearing about there's going to be a red wall rebellion, and we keep hearing about backbenchers are going to tackle the government, but thus far, it hasn't happened.
No, because there hasn't, one, there hasn't been enough time, two, people have been going through the pandemic, so, you know, things have got to settle down so that people are confident about going about their normal lives. And when they start being confident about going around their normal lives, then they will start to consider, you know, who is it that's representing us in Parliament? Unfortunately, I'll say this, it's not about Labour and Tory, SNP, it's not about that. There is a big loss between Joe Public and parliamentarians. You know, the fact that so few people, you know, and every year and every election it gets less and less and less. And the more that happens, the more you end up spiralling into apathy. And if you spiral into apathy, you end up with a government that represents apathy. You don't represent a government that's representing those people that want to make a go of a country, that want to raise up. And people are going to be sitting there, you know, to be honest, my mum is 90 this year. She's blind and deaf, well, partially blind, partially deaf, can't get about too good. And all everybody is concerned about is, what if she has to go into a home? And I go, well, at least she'll get better care in a home. But we know that will cost, my brother and I, will cost us selling her house in order to put her into a decent care home. That's what will happen. And it's unfortunate. But why should we have to do that when we should have been dealing with this over years? So, and it's this, I'll say it again, this is not about a Tory government or a Labour government or any other coalition government or anything. This is about politicians have never been able to come to grips with an ageing population who are going to require care home assistance. Are going. It's not maybe, if, what, and not all of them will.
Yeah.
But somebody's got to pay. So what you're going to do now is you're going to make the people who are in work pay for the people who need the care. Well, they're already doing that. They're already doing that because most caring families, the kids end up paying for their parents anyway, in one form or another. It's only the ones that got no money, got no family, got no... And the society should be looking after those people, but it should have been built up over the last 50 years.
We were being warned about this demographic... warned about the demographic time bomb. I mean, I remember doing...
The
30, yeah, 30 years ago. I still think the 70s is 30 years ago, but there you go.
Well, that's because you're too young.
Yes, indeed. Right, yeah. Me and me basically roll us to trousers. But, you know, it's not as if we haven't seen this one coming. There were warnings about Europe's grey, and also Europe needing, you know, younger workforce, and also Europe needing more care workers. And now we've got to the situation with the perfect storm, and also with what happens, you know, what happened with the COVID, and the way that puts extra pressure on the care home system as well.
Yep, and also, you know, the other pressure point that is now coming is all of these companies, this is forewarned 2 years ago, all of these companies are saying we haven't got the workforce to cope with the work that we've got. We need foreign helpers. We need foreign workers. You know, you need your fruit pickers. You need your cardboard box makers. You need all of them.
Yeah.
The sole difference is what nobody ever says, and what certainly what none of the politicians say, is if you paid better rates of pay, you wouldn't have people crying out for benefit help. You would have people in work because the incentive would be to go to work and not to sit at home for £5 a week less.
Sure.
On benefits. They've never, ever sorted this benefit system out. So what you end up with is, you know, 750,000 people sitting around in the UK not bothering, let's put it in the nastiest way, not bothering to go to work. So what you've got to do is you've got to recruit 250,000 people from overseas in order for them to do the jobs that these 750,000 could do. And it's because, you know, I used to cover, it's a big supermarket chain, I won't say it's the biggest supermarket chain in the UK.
Yeah.
And they had to employ people from Poland to do the picking in their dry warehouse in order to stock the shelves of supermarkets across southern England. They employed people from Poland. They brought them in, they paid, they were paying exactly the same rates of pay, exactly this, that. The difference was that the Polish workers, on the rates of pay they were getting in the UK, having all their stuff ripped off of them for rent and travel and stuff like that, could still go back to Poland and build their own house. That's what a British and the British workers I represented were saying. They've just sacked me for something. Please don't get me my job back, Alf, because I'm better off on benefits.
That's just
wrong.
Exactly. I'm with you 100% on that. Alf, I've got some more calls coming in and some bits and pieces coming in, but always good to hear from you, my friend.
And one last thing. If anybody has it, I'm going to plug a magazine that's not yours.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
The Costa Connection.
Right, that's going off.
If anybody wants to see a non-political organisation have a political rant, just go to page 3 and just read Anna's column, because I find it absolutely fascinating.
I never thought, Alf, that you'd be directing me to a page 3 thing on Viewpoint, but there you go. Good to have you with us, Alf, as always.
Okay.
Take care, mate. 9527 8 4000. This in, good morning to you on the WhatsApps. In fact, let me just go to the... Yes, I know he said page 3. Calm down. 9527 8 4000. We're going live to the Lions. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Oh, and hang on, sorry. I got so excited there. Are you there, caller? You know what I'm going to say next, don't you? Caller. And there he was, gone. Yes, 9527 8 4000. Let me just try doing this again and see if I can't get you there. No, I've lost them forever. My apologies, caller. Right then. The money on the side of the bus was never promised to... the money on the side of the bus was never promised to the NHS. If you listen closely, they said, we could give this money to the NHS. Glad we can't clear that one up. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name?
That's a lot better, Giles. Can you hear me okay?
You're coming through loud and clear. How are you doing this morning?
I'm not so bad, Giles, not so bad. It would have been better to put a... to go on the tax rather than putting a blanket VAT increase. That would have been fairer on that point. But what I want to expand on something I said. When I said capitalism is dead in the water, this is true. The way greed and selfish, self-serving attitudes work in the world, and they always have, but, you know, people tend to think of themselves. In Africa at the moment, only 2% of people have been vaccinated. 200,000 have died. And I think several million have been infected, 2 million have been infected. Compare that to the Western world, 70% vaccinated. And the backdrop to all this is, across America and Europe and the more affluent nations, there is at least probably up to 500,000 reserve, over-ordered and stored vaccines, which I find myself in rare agreement with Gordon Brown, who's tried valiantly to redistribute things to the poorer. Now, the problem is people, obviously, selfish interest, all they're bothered about is getting vaccinated themselves. And the reason capitalism's failing, because the poorer part of the world, the disparity, I look on with absolute disdain and revulsion, the way that we, on one hand, can pat ourselves on the back and tell ourselves what good job we're doing and saving lives, when all people are doing is swapping places to die with poorer people in the world. And now, it might sound a bit like a crusader, but in my book, this is absolutely abhorrent. It's fundamentally wrong.
Right.
And it's just a disgrace. It holds a mirror up to the human race of how we are. You know, do we really deserve to survive this pandemic when we've come to that way of mentality, self-preservation and thinking? Because as a species, we're all part of one species, and as a species, we're failed.
Well, Jason, as always, making your points strongly there. As a species, we've been. Jason, take care. Good to hear from you again, and we'll speak soon. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Thank you. I've just been sent a picture of the bus, which says, the big red bus, we send the EU £350 million a week. Let's fund our NHS instead. Vote leave. Let's take back control. Looking at it right now. In all its redness and whatever. So let's have a look at some more bits and pieces coming in on the WhatsApp. Thank you very much for this one. The NHS has always struggled to cope with the increase in the UK population since 1980. While the politicians move the goalposts and feather their own nests, nothing changes for the best. Britain has gone sour for the indigenous population. That would presumably be the Picts and the Celts. But anyway, cheers. Here in Spain, they look after their pensioners, so we hear. Thank you for that one. Somebody's just sent me some spam mail, which is always good fun. Here's another query. There are two lines of passport control at Malaga Airport. I'm a UK passport holder, and my husband is an Irish EU passport holder. Can I go on his line? No, I don't think you possibly can. We cannot take voice app calls on this one as well, so whoever's calling in, I'm very sorry, but we can't take your WhatsApp call on that. 952, so we're not set up to take audio on the WhatsApp here, but thank you for your call. Yeah, you can't go through the EU if your partner has an EU passport and you don't. I'm pretty sure that you can't go through saying I'm with him. But thank you for that one. Right then, let's have a look at some close of business today, shall we? Just looking at that one there. That's thank you very much for that. That is a spam mail. I always do enjoy a bit of spam on a Tuesday, and there is a Monty Python joke in there somewhere. Thanks for the comments as well coming in on this one and an octopus story as well. If you want more information on that octopus, please get in touch with Anne Hernandez. She's got an MBE now. She's got six different Facebook groups, Brexpats in Spain as well. Good to have you with us, and good morning to Teresa. And is that... I think that's Uro, but it might be a joke name. You don't know, but they're saying hello on the socials to us as well. Here on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. If you want to get your thoughts in the last 2 minutes or so of the show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And let's look at this one. The 350 million never existed. The UK spends 2.5 times less, thank you, get it right, than other European nations, has some of the worst European scores for health outcomes. The NHS has to change the way it charges patients. No one copies the NHS model for a good reason. It doesn't work. Pre-COVID, the UK used to take 2 billion per day in tax rake. That you can reduce benefits and raise wages. Morning, Cody, live on TRE. You've got 1 minute to get your viewpoint across.
Oh, this will do. Kate Postman.
Hi, Kate.
So a male MP has to wear a tie in the Commons.
Yes.
But not a mask. Nuts.
Not a mask, nuts, did you say? It has to be a very long tie, Kate, in that case.
The Speaker has issued instructions on dress code.
Right, so ties must be worn, but not masks.
Yes.
And it's nuts.
Yes.
Nuts are, obviously on the side there. But Kate, yes, indeed. Well, yes. You've left me for once speechless there. Thank you, Kate. Who says we're not a broad church? It's the thing with the viewpoint, you never actually know. You never know what's. I sometimes feel like Russell Crowe in Gladiators. Whatever comes through those doors, well, you can only play with what's in front of you. Right then, almost out of time. It's been my pleasure and my privilege for today's viewpoint. Thanks to my guests, Anne Hernandez, of course, of Brexpats in Spain. Good to have her with us on today's show, as well as joining her on the Zoom call. Excuse me, my screen's just gone completely blank just to keep me on my toes. Joining her today were also Victoria and Victoria Westhead and Jorge Postigo. I'll be back on Friday. Stephen Ritson up next.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.